Itmar. The bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph from Maseches Bava Metzia. The Gemara tells us, Hayorda toch tzedei chaveru neta'a shelo b'rishus. A fellow enters someone else's field and plants it. Notea means to plant saplings. Reuven owns a field. Shimon decides to enter Reuven's field without permission, unauthorized. And Shimon wakes up in the morning, later in the morning, and discovers Reuven had entered Shimon's field. Shimon wakes up later in the morning, Shimon comes back from work, and discovers that his field has been landscaped. Discovers that his empty yard has now been converted into a cherry orchard. It's been converted into a plum orchard. Well, that's a little bit of a surprise, maybe a little unnerving. And then Reuven comes knocking at Shimon's door and says, what do you think about the backyard? Shimon says, it's a little bit of a surprise, looks nice. Reuven says, great, here's your bill. I spent a few hours planting your backyard, turning into a beautiful apricot orchard, and here's the bill for all the saplings I put in. It costs money. And for all the hours I spent, I had a whole team there, you know. And Shimon says to Reuven, Bill, I mean, it's cute that you did it, but I didn't hire you. So the Gemara says, says to Shiloh, Reuven takes Shimon to Basin. Reuven says, you owe me money. I spent hours gardening your field. I spent hours working in your field. You owe me money. You owe me money for materials, and you owe me money for labor. And the Baal HaSada says, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. I never hired you. So I would have assumed that I didn't hire you. We mean pay you. I was in Pashin, of course. I don't have to pay you. If I hire you, I agreed to pay you. So then you did the job, so I have to pay you. I didn't hire you. What type of absurd question is this? Of course I don't owe you salary. But yet, the Gemara says, that Dwar Pinz are opinion of Rav, opinion of Shmuel, and Rapapa, did you just figure out what the value is of the saplings they left behind? And you got to pay for those saplings, assuming he doesn't want to take them out. He wants to keep them, okay? And Shmuel says, no, you got to actually pay him for labor as well. And Rapapa explains, there's no machlokas, this is a common theme of Rapapa, there's no machlokas, no poligi. It's not a machlok, it's two different cases. It depends what was Shimon's plan with the yard. If Shimon didn't intend, he may think that if he doesn't even like the orchard, it looks absurd to have an orchard, this makes the house look ugly, it doesn't make any sense, it's getting in the way of parking the cars, you plant the trees in the middle where I was planning to put in a driveway. So of course, you know, if it hurts Shimon, obviously Shimon doesn't have to pay for it. But it's an improvement. Let's say it is an improvement. So Rav Papa says it depends. If it's an improvement, but not one that Shimon was looking to invest in, I wasn't planning to spend money on an orchard. It's nice, but it's cute. I wasn't planning to spend money on it. So you can't force my hand. You can't make me pay you for the hours that you spent that I wasn't planning to hire anyone for. If it's a sada, she'ena asuyalita, was not intended for planting, they don't have to pay you for your work. But if it's a sada asuyalita, I was planning to get this work done at some point. I didn't get around to hiring anyone, and meanwhile, you came and did it. So the Gemara says, very improbably, I would think, that you don't have to pay him. If I would have hired someone to do it anyways, then you were kodem v'zocha, so to speak. So because you jumped and did it, and it was work I needed that needed doing, so I have to pay you. That is a tema. Oh. It's true I was going to hire someone, but I didn't hire anyone, and I certainly didn't hire you. So it's sweet of you to have volunteered to do the work, but why do I have to pay you? You want to volunteer? Okay, maybe I won't press charges for trespassing, but why do I have to pay you? Muzar. And then another Muzar Gemara, we had also mentioned, we had touched on this Gemara at the end of Shir last week. Another bizarre Gemara is 25 blot earlier, on Daf Ayin Vav, Mishan Ayin Hey, on the days, and also above Metzia, Mishan Hey, that's the very beginning of the sixth parak. The sixth and seventh prakim are about employer-employee relationships. Different flavors, different types, umnim, polim, and so forth, and so forth. So umnim can mean different things. The Mishnah opens with a situation where they fooled each other. The workers fooled one another. So the Gemara says, what's the case where the workers fooled one another? I mean, hit to his ass, that? They fooled one another. So the Gemara explains, the scenario is, that Reuben has an employee, and that employee fooled the other employees. That's the scenario, he fooled the other employees. So that means Reuben has a foreman. Reuben owns a business. Reuben hires Shimon as his foreman. So Shimon is an employee of Reuben, and his job, at least in part, is to oversee the other employees of Reuben. He's a manager. So Reuven, the boss, tells Shimon, the foreman, go hire some workers for the work that he's doing today, tomorrow, next week, whatever it is, and offer them $3, $3 dinar a day. So Shimon decides, $3 dinar a day, that's not going to cut it. I'm going to offer $4 dinar a day. Now stop right there. What should have happened, what should you do in that situation? What you should do is, starts with letter C. Good. Even better?
Compromise.
Maybe. But first, when you consult, what happens is that you are communicating. If you have ideas in your head, and someone else has ideas in his head, it's usually a good idea to communicate. People don't know what's in your head unless you tell them. You don't know what's in their head unless you actually talk it out with them. One of the great yesodos of life. It's worth reviewing because it will stand you in good stead. You should consult in the context in which you communicate. You may ultimately, as a result, compromise or come to some other conclusion. But either way, what he should have done, what Shimon should have done, is said to his boss, well, can we talk about this? Like, this is not working out. I'm not finding anyone. Okay, now again, maybe Shimon's, this is before phones. Shimon's off, you know, writing a letter. We don't have time for letters to go back and forth. So, for better or for worse, Shimon makes an executive decision, even though he's not an executive, that we're going to be paying four dinar a day. So Shimon hires Levi Yehudi Yisachar Zvulun and tells them that he's hiring them to work for Reuven at four dinar a day. But Reuven had told Shimon three dinar a day. Amar le Baal Bayis Zil Ogur Li Paalim. Baal Bayis says to the foreman, go hire more workers. Azal Yehu Avakinu. He goes, the foreman goes, does hire workers, but is mat at them with a mistake. So the Gemara gives different versions. But one of the versions is Iamar le Balabayas Betlasa. The boss, Reuven, the owner of the business, had told the foreman, hire them at three dinar a day. And he went and told the workers, I'd like to hire you to work for Reuven at four dinar a day. And, not working for me, working for Reuven, the Gemara says. So, Amar Lahu Scharchem al Balabayis. You're being hired by the boss. He's going to pay you, not me. So the Gemara says, well, Lechzi Polim Hechi Miskri. Reuven told Shimon to hire them at three. Shimon told the workers, I'm hiring you for four. So the Gemara says, what's the Shaila? There's a simple way to solve it. Let's see what the going rate is. So the Gemara says, you're right. The only time it's the Shaila is when there's a range. And some people are making three and some people are making four. So that's when it gets complicated. Meaning, as the Rambam points out, the Rambam extracts from the Gemara, if it's clear, if the going rate is four, then they're going to get paid four. What's shocking about that is I never agreed to pay them for it. I'm the boss. I told Shimon to hire the workers, and he hires them, but not what I agreed to. So why am I on the hook to pay them what I never agreed to? Now, you might say maybe they could sue Shimon. He's a mazik of sorts, a garmi, because he caused them to take a job that they end up getting paid less than they should have. Maybe Shimon has some culpability. But why is it Reuven's problem? The Gemara says, if the going rate for this type of work is 4 dinar a day. Reuven owes his workers 4 dinar a day. But how? By what right? Reuven never agreed to that. Shimon agreed to it. So it's Shimon's problem. But why is it Reuven? Again, the Gemara says, if there's a mix of different, there's a range of going rates, Mela. So then it gets complicated. But the Gemara assumes, but of course it's Davar Pashut. Of course, if there's a specific going rate, you got to pay them whatever the going rate is. What do you mean? I never agreed to it. So again, it's a step removed. The work of Aleph, you worked for me, your Tov Stei Chaver. I never agreed to hire you at all. Here, it's with a twist. I agreed to hire you, but not the going rate. So why am I on the hook to pay the going rate? Maybe Shimon should be on the hook, the foreman. He's the one who didn't communicate. Yeah.
Not really a step removed in the sense that it seems like his shlichus did not work because he didn't actually fulfill what the boss wanted him to do. But since they already did the work, it would seem like he owes them the money of their work, not the rate in which they.
Okay. So Ayin Vav, you can understand a little more where we're going. Kofal, if it's even. Sharper. Yeah.
Well, can't you say that, like, if Reuven is charging them, like, demeaning wages, like, he has no right to do that. Like, you can't just say, you know, building a bridge.
Well. If you and I agree that you're going to work for me at whatever salary point we both freely agree to, then that's binding, whether it's overly high or overly low. If we both freely agreed, you could have taken a different job. You wanted to work for me. I said, look, but I'm not in a position to pay you what everyone else is paying.
Well,
everyone's paying four. If I'm an open, I said, look, everyone's paying four. I'm only paying three.
Shimon didn't give them the chance to decide. Shimon just assumed it wasn't fair. So now Reuven.
But why is that Reuven's problem? Was it Reuven's problem? He didn't. I wasn't dishonest with anyone. I was very clear with my foreman, and he was mata the other workers. So why is it my fault? Why do I owe the money? I feel bad for these guys. I feel terrible. But I never agreed to pay them that. I can't. I may have made a cheshbon that the business is not strong enough. I'm not gonna make any profit if I pay them four. It's not worth my getting the work done. So. Why am I on the hook to pay them for Shimon's mistake? Yeah.
Isn't because like the foreman's working on your
okay. So if it was just this Gemara, you could have said, well, maybe the foreman is working on my behalf. On the other hand, that gets us that's a fascinating question how agency, how shlichus works in halacha. But a larger point, which is sort of that's a different zone, is that a shliach shashina, if a shliach goes rogue and isn't following. If you're not doing what you were meant to do, then you're no longer qualified as a shaliach. So if the shliach was mashana, so then often, again, that's a larger sugya, but that he's no longer, he may lose his status as acting in my stead. So the question is, Well, he said maybe because the Baal Bayis should have checked with the workers to make sure they knew what they were getting paid. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't it also combine with that? Like, his job was there to go get workers, right? And he said, try to get for three. But, like, it would seem logical that even, like, if he couldn't find anything for three, he would go up to the normal rate. Because he needs
Okay, good. So you're saying maybe it's understood. After all, that is normal rate, perhaps. You get to that Kofalov, though, Yor Tov Stei Chaveiro. There was no discussion about anything. Nothing was understood. I never met you until I walked into my property, and lo and behold, there's a whole orchard. And you come and say, I'm the one who did it, and here's my bill. So Rav Shechter develops the beginning of Simon Chav Tes of Eretz Yisrael. This is where he left off last time. Is that what you see is that from these Gemaras is a surprising truth, which is that the obligation of an employer to pay his employees is not merely contractual. It's not only because we agreed. I mentioned last time, this quickly, I just want to come back to this, that you can categorize the chiyuvei tashlumin, leaving aside kras and kapara. When I pay you for something, I pay you for what happened, I pay you mamon, so chiyuvei mamon divide into two categories. There's hischaivus midas and milvah ksuva batorah. Hischaivus midas is where I'm paying because I agreed to pay. I was mischayev midas. I, of my own volition, created an obligation to you. I borrow money, I have to pay back. I decide to buy something of yours, I have to pay you. That's hischaivus midas. I freely accepted the chiyuv to pay, and I'm chayev only because I freely accepted that chiyuv. Hischaivus midas. As opposed to a case where the Torah imposes the chiyuv. A milva, a ksuva b'torah. Like a loan, a chiyuv to pay, but kasuva b'torah is written in the Torah. For instance, I smash your windows, so I have to pay you even though I never agreed to pay you. No, I want to smash your windows for free. I said b'feirish, al manas, I don't have to pay. Doesn't matter, you have to pay anyways. Or even sometimes, adam mazik is chayivim bonus. I wasn't even trying to mazik you. I'm pulling out of a parking spot, and I accidentally scrape against another car. I'm a nice guy. I wasn't trying to harm anybody. You think I want to scrape his car? Or scrape my own car? Of course not. It was an accident. Okay, and guess what? You have still have to pay for it. Adam Mazik, even if no one's watching, you're absolutely chayav to pay for it. You just take a little piece of paper, and you leave a note, and they figure out who owns the car. You're chayav. If he's mochel, he's mochel. But if I was mazik someone, I'm mechuyev to pay. There was no das at all. No, it was a no das to the. It wasn't even das to do the hezek. It was an accident. It doesn't matter. It's a milvah ksuva b'torah. So the question is, how about tzchiras polim? My obligation. So I would have thought that my obligation to pay workers is entirely contractual. We agreed that if you do the work, I'm going to pay you. You do the work, I pay you. It sounds like the mehamekach. It sounds like a halva. So Ashechta points out is, but you see from these gemaras and many others that he collects and puts together in Siman Chavtesa of Eretz Hatzvi, but these are two good examples, that you see from these gemaras that it's not merely a milvah ksuva Torah. It's not merely a hischaivus midas. Schiras polim is a milvah ksuva Torah. If you do work for me, fundamentally the Torah imposes an obligation on the employer to pay his employee. If we have an agreement about what the rate will be, so that becomes the rate. But in the end, if I don't want the work done, I don't have to pay you. That's what the Gemara says. If it's a sada she'ina su yalita, it's nice, it's cute, but I wasn't planning to hire anyone to do this work. So then there's no schiras polim. But if I do work the sort of work that you want done, if I do it for you, you owe me the etzem. The most extreme expression of that is even if we never had a conversation, you're still going to owe me, your tov stei chaveiro. And there are milder expressions on ayin vav that if there wasn't effective communication between employer and employee because the go-between, the foreman, messed up, so then the default salary is the going rate, if there is a clear going rate. And then Rashi says there are other nafkaminos also, even in case where it is contractual, the quality of the payment and the different features of it are different because it's a milva, fundamentally a milva ksuva b'torah. With that, we come back to Rabbeinu Yonah, who had sent us to, who had connected our Gemara in Bava Basra, Chavtes, with the Gemara in Bava Kama, Chav Aleph. So Chavayis Meruvim and Imtze Bayis Shal Shimon. Mala Schar LeShimon. I was renting Reuven's house. It turns out that the house, it was a nice house. I lived in it for a couple of years. But it's not Reuven's house. It's actually Shimon's house. Reuven had made it seem as though it was his house. He had negotiated a lease contract with me. But it turns out that he was leasing me the Brooklyn Bridge. It wasn't his. It is Shimon's. So the Gemara says, you gotta pay Shimon. You look at the Mukhe Yosef there, on test of an alf bedape rif that corresponds to Chafalov in the Gemara, and he quotes, the Mukhe Yosef quotes from both the Rosh and the Ritva, that why did the Gemara say Nimtza Shal Shimon? Yitzchak buys me Reuben, and then Shimon is so dramatic. Why did the guard just say, if you have a house that you moved into a house and it's a rentable house, you got to pay? Why do you have to bring in Reuven? Let's say a guy trespassed. Also, I trespassed in your house. You weren't there. I moved in. I have to pay your rent. So well, what's with the Reuven? Why are you bringing Reuven in for? The servant Nugo says, even if Reuven gave you a good deal, it's not that I was a trespasser and I realized I'm doing something wrong and I realized if I get caught, we have to pay rent. No! I was renting from Reuven. It looked legit. And Reuven offered me a great deal. He offered me $200 a month below the going rate. And then it turns out it's actually Shimon's house. And Shimon wants the going rate. So I still have to pay the full going rate, even though I had an agreement with Reuven. It's very similar. It doesn't matter. Similar to what's going on above Mitzvah Daf Ayin Vav. You thought you had an agreement for less. But Lamaisa, if that agreement was not valid, then you are bound by whatever the market price is. If there is a clear market price. And then he goes, the Mukiz goes on to quote the reverse case. Reuven charges Shimon higher than the going rate. Reuven charges Shimon higher than the going rate, and it turns out that Reuven is a fake and a phony. And the Shimon was so wowed by this property that he was willing to pay 30% more. Or Shimon was just so like squeezed, he needed a place and he was, you know, his other lease was up and he was feeling pressure. And Shimon agreed to pay Reuven 30% more than the going rate. And then it turns out it's not really Reuven's house. It's really Yehuda's house. How much does Shimon pay Yehuda? So he doesn't have to pay. He does have to pay. The Gemara says you have to pay the other guy, but right, you don't have to pay more either. Even though you agreed to pay 30% more, it doesn't matter. Your chiyuv fundamentally is a milvak suva b'torah. You use someone else's stuff. If it's a sort of item that's meant to be leased, and you used it, you have to pay the least amount. If we both agree to a higher price or a lower price, okay, then whatever you agree to. But fundamentally, there's an inherent chiyuv. And that's what's going on here as well. That's what our Gemara in Bava Basra is reflecting the yisod that's tamun in the Gemara in Bava Kama, and that's more explicit in Schiros Polem context in Bava Metzia, which is the chiyuv Schiros is a fundamental chiyuv that the Torah imposes independent of any contractual agreement. Even if there was a mistaken contractual agreement, the two parties weren't talking to each other, or there was no contractual agreement, it doesn't matter. The chiyuv exists regardless. Now, I'll leave you with this. We had said to Muki Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda pointed out there are two hanachas that are driving Rabbi Yehuda's kasha. One is that you're going to have to pay the new guy, now that you discovered who the actual owner is, and you're going to get a refund from the old guy, it's going to be a wash. And he said, so why, you know, what's wrong with that? So one question to think about, the question that one of the Achronim raises, the Shara HaMishpat, one of the Achronim on Chosh HaMishpat, he says, I understand now you owe, now that we discovered that actually the house belongs to Marakama, you now owe rent to the Marakama. It's a Gemara Bava Kama, we explained it, good. But why is it so pressured to Rabbeinu Yonah that I'm going to get a refund from the machzik? I came to Beis Din, the sochrim, the renters, the tenants, came to Beis Din, and they were made that the machzik has a cheskes avatim. Right? We were made. We rented the property from him. We lived there for 3 years. But Yom Balayla, he has a cheskes avatim. So for some reason, Beis Din decides, with other evidence, shtaris, whatever, other edim, that we're going to award it to the Marakama. Frek the Shara HaMishpat, why do I get a refund? But Hadoz Baldin, I freely admitted in court that this guy has the Cheskes Avatim. So that's not going to help he can hold on to the property because the Marakama doesn't agree. But how do I get a refund? Something to think about for tomorrow.